Hour number four of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports. Live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. We've been talking a lot about USC this year because Lincoln Riley has that squad rolling. They only have one loss on the season, the one loss coming to Utah, and they still have a shot to go make the college football playoff. And then the Seattle Seahawks have been one of the best feel-good stories in the league this year. Everyone thought they were going to miss the playoffs, and right now they are leading the NFC West as they're in their bye week coming back from Germany, and they are 6-4, even though they are coming off a loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So when we want to talk a little USC, we want to talk a little Seahawks, we bring in a man that played for both, and that, of course, is our pal, Lofa Tatupu. Lofa, how you been?
Yeah, buddy. I'm happy to talk both of those because I think we're currently in first place in both of our divisions.
Yeah.
I'm great.
So let me start you off with this game going on right now between Tennessee and Green Bay. Tennessee's up 7-6 as the Titans are marching down the field once again. Whenever you watch the Titans, it is, holy smokes, Derrick Henry's a battering ram, and he's so tough to tackle. Who was the guy when you went up against in the NFL, you being a linebacker, when you went up against a running back that you knew it was just going to be a nightmare to try to bring that guy down?
Every time I get asked this question, it always goes back to the great Fred Taylor, Fred Savage, man. That guy was, he could run you over, he could run by you, open field. He had a crazy hop step and then like a spin move off of it. So it's just like, you know, what are you going to do? You know, so you just have to hit it full steam and hope you hit.
And then how about in college when you had to go up and practice against Reggie Bush, and I'm sure you weren't allowed to touch Reggie, right?
Well, I mean, I couldn't touch Reggie. I mean, I had to get a hold of him before I could hit him. But yeah, going against him every day, he made me better. Him, Lendale White, you know, we had a bunch of great running backs. And then even in the division, played the likes of Marshawn Lynch, you know, beast mode. But, you know, the guy I had battles with, not just in college, but then all the way up into the NFL as we were drafted the same division, was Oregon State, Steven Jackson. Man, he was a monster.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Lofa Tatupu here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. You were in Germany last week for the game, right?
I think so, man. I don't even know what day it is right now.
That was some environment, though. Like, I was just seeing the videos and the crowd that was singing. That was unbelievable.
The whole thing. I mean, I think the coolest thing was just walking around all week. I got to be there for 5 days. You know, we went to a bunch of the parties and just talked football and, you know, had some steins. We were cheersing. To say cheers in German is Prost. So I learned some German while I was out there. But it was the coolest thing. You saw every single team, you know, every single NFL organization was represented with jerseys, merchandise. So the game's big out there, man. And they, you know, I know it wasn't the outcome that the Hawks fans wanted, but it was quite the experience.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But still, this team at 6-4, they've been such a special team this year, and they were left for dead. What has impressed you the most, really, about this team this year on what's been a very likable and enjoyable team when you watch the Seahawks?
Oh, it's been incredible, man. You know, expectations weren't high, right? You know, I think everybody picked us to finish last in our division. But, you know, Geno is obviously the feel-good, amazing comeback story that everybody, you know, loves to talk about because he's been playing lights out. He had a rough first half last game but came back, 2 touchdowns, 240 yards. It was vintage Geno, all what we've seen of him this season. And, you know, so I would say that is one of the biggest highlights. And then also this rookie class, you know, to find 5 quality starters, you know, in any draft is unheard of. These guys aren't just starting, but they're also contributing, you know, both of those tackles to start at that position in the trenches is tough. And then the other position to really start at that's tough right away is corner. And, you know, Kobe Bryant, Tariq Woolen, Kobe leading the league in sacks, or he was amongst the leaders. And then Woolen now with 5 interceptions. I think he just tied Earl Thomas's record. And then I haven't even talked about K-9, Kenneth Walker. Unbelievable. Your game got, you know, kind of out of hand early, 14-0, you know, deficit. So we couldn't really run the ball as much as we wanted to. But he's been something to watch, man. I knew he was tough from watching him at Michigan State. I didn't know he was that fast. Like, he's got breakaway speed.
Lofa Tatupu here with us. So you played for Pete Carroll in college, in the NFL towards the end, and then you coach with him as well. What is it about Pete? Because this seems personal this year with all the things that were being said about him and Russell Wilson and that divorce. This is really a locker room that you could tell is motivated and is playing for their head football coach right now.
I mean, here's something I'll say about Pete. Is he had a dynasty at USC, and it only took 2 or 3 years, right, before we were in the national championship. He goes on to the NFL. And, you know, I was on that team in 2010, and we had so many moving parts. We lost a lot of guys in free agency. A lot of guys just moved on, right? So he took that team, and even though we were only 7-9, we went straight to the division, a team that nobody gave a chance. They were like, oh, they were 5-11 the year before. They're not going to be that much better that year. We were a couple games better, but so many moving parts, it was tough to get the team chemistry. But then that next year, they built through the draft in those 2 years. And with all those draft picks, I got to expect that he's going to go right back. Him and John are going to go right back to the formula that landed that previous Legion of Boom dynasty with Marshawn Lynch, Russ, you know, and all those big pieces that contributed to a Super Bowl run and a Super Bowl win and then another run the next year.
You were there as a coach in the aftermath of that Super Bowl. Did you sense that tension? Because now you see a lot of the former Seahawks players on that defense, it seems like actively rooting against Russell Wilson. Was that tension between the defense and Russ, you know, that evident when you were there?
You know, I didn't really sense any tension. They're all alphas and competitors, right? And, you know, the spotlight can only shine so bright on, you know, each person. And so I think maybe that had something to do with it. I don't think it was, you know, any, you know, ill will, but it's just, the grass is not always greener on the other side, as we're finding out. And you know, I don't think, you know, that had anything to do with the years. I mean, the defense started to age, and we were really putting a lot on Russ to carry the team. And that's really what quarterbacks, when they come in, you know, they win a Super Bowl early. They're way underpaid, but they do get a lot of credit. And then now it comes time. It's like, okay, we're going to put it all on your shoulders. You got to go out and win for us. And he did for many years. But, you know, I think it was really time for a reboot from both sides, not just ours, but also Russ's, you know?
Yeah, but Russ has to be regretting this now. Because if this team, you have DK Metcalf, you got Tyler Lockett, they end up drafting Kenneth Walker, and now you're in Denver. And that roster, they have good defense, but offensively, they don't got much.
No, you're right. And, I mean, he lost a receiver in preseason. He lost a receiver, like, the first couple weeks or just a couple weeks ago. Lost Booker, right, or the tailback, Williams.
Yeah, Javonte.
Lost him. Lost his starting left tackle. So, I mean, but, again, this is also why we paid you, because we're expecting you to just keep us above water even when things like this happen. So, it's been tough. Especially with that, he's got a really good defense playing for him over there. I mean, they haven't really surrendered many points. Well, not getting many. So it's, I gotta believe he'll turn it around. He'll figure it out. I did see him come out the other day and say, I have to play better. Now that is something I have not seen before. And that's probably because he's always played well over here. But I'm just saying, taking that ownership goes a long way in the locker room. For both sides of the ball, not just the offensive guys that are out there battling with you, but the defense that's out there producing too.
Now, he's only 33, so he's still got some good years left in him, but not everyone could play into their 40s. Is there at all that thought? I know you said you think he could turn it around, and we always talk for years, let Russ cook, let Russ cook. Maybe Russ is just cooked, and the end is a little bit nearer, especially with what Pete's evaluation was willing to let him go.
I'm going to give a guy that had the fastest fastest to 100 wins, the benefit of the doubt. He's a gamer, and I think, you know, he's got that lat injury, and I think he's probably getting over that now. And then, and so, you know, not to make excuses for him, but I mean, from what I've seen on the field in years past, it leads me to believe, okay, it's a down year. And I mean, I know he got hurt last year with that nasty finger injury, but I don't think he's done, you know, at all. I feel like Russell's going to write his own script. It's going to, you know, I don't want to see it, because with every draft pick, every loss, a draft pick gets better in our position. But, you know, there you still root for the guy because of all he means to the community.
You think Geno's back next year for the Seahawks, and they draft someone to ultimately replace him? Like, how do you think that plays out this offseason?
That's the question I've been getting the most lately. And I really think this bye week gave, you know, John and Pete and all the offensive coaches time to really look at the small sample size. It's half a season, but just the way the guys are responding to him, you know, like these tackles have been phenomenal, both, you know, run and pass block. But Geno getting rid of the ball in a timely fashion has also, you know, not made them really strain out there like you would if you're holding on to the ball. And, I mean, I just can't go back and say enough about Geno and what he's been doing. He has one of the fastest mental processes I've ever seen in terms of recognizing the coverage, getting rid of the ball. And that's why, you know, the machine's running. And he was really, early on when the run game was struggling, he was opening up alleys for the run game. Like, he was getting people out of eight-man front and then forcing them to go to too high so we could open up run lanes. So I just go back to that. I think you really do have to address it because with every win, the price tag just keeps going up. And I think a 2 or 3 year deal, you know, I don't know, like 20, 25, it's getting expensive. A couple weeks ago, it was probably at 15, 17 a year, and he's probably happy with it because he knows he can make a run at a title with what they put around him. But now, I mean, we let this go anymore, it's going to be pricey. And he might not, after all the years he's been sitting, he might not want to, you know, sit and, you know, bet on himself and go test free agency. So, but you're right. Quarterbacks have not been playing, not a ton of them. You know, even the early draft picks have been playing excellent out the gate. So this is an opportunity for someone to sit behind him, learn, and then just, you know, as soon as Geno's ready to move on a couple years from now, then you put him into the offense.
How good can this team be this year? Like, what do you think the ceiling is for this Seahawks team?
Feeling, okay, I'll go as far as NFC Championship. I'll go divisional NFC Championship because they're so young that they don't know any better. But they're so young that they lack experience is why I will say playoffs, you know, one and done. So it's really, I can't put my finger on it right now. I think they get to, you know, as long as they keep this momentum going. We stay healthy. That's another thing. We really have been lucky, other than Jamal with the quad early on. We've been pretty healthy, and we've made it through. While a lot of the NFC West has been banged up, and so you know, it's I'm gonna go divisional at least.
Yeah, I think they're gonna win the division because the 49ers, they have more talent. We know that, but it just doesn't seem like the 49ers have been playing consistent football this year.
Absolutely, and they've been, you know, Debo was in and out of the lineup. Kittle missed our first game. I mean, they rolled us in the first game, but Geno didn't have the full playbook or autonomy to change an audible at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, you really didn't get to see what he was capable of. But, you know, Kenneth Walker didn't have a big role in that game either. So, you know, both teams are going to look drastically different when they match up again. I think it's a Thursday night matchup in December.
Lofa Tutupu here with us. So with USC, we know it's going to be, can you win out? And then will they get into it, the four teams remaining in the college football playoff? Big game against UCLA, then a big game against Notre Dame. With what you've seen so far in year number one with Lincoln Riley, you got to feel, right, that USC is inching closer and closer to being back, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for a first year and to be ranked in the top 10, I know it's not the end of the season, but big matchup. I'm not rooting for UCLA last week when they were playing Zona, but come on, man. You can't lose that game for us because that just weakens our strength of schedule. So, of course, they didn't want to do us any favors coming into this one, right? But, you know, can we get to the playoffs? It's going to take some help. You know, we're going to have to see LSU or somebody else drop. I think Georgia, you know, right now, if they do play LSU in the SEC championship, I think they beat them. I don't think it's really a game if they face them in the championship. But we got a ways to go, a couple more recruiting classes, and I think we'll be back to where we were when in the early 2000s, my man, as long ago as that was. Wow.
Do you like the move to the Big Ten?
I don't mind it just because I knew it was creating super conferences is going to expand the playoff field. That's really where it was heading to. So, you know, I would have liked closer games, but I've always wanted to go see, you know, the Big House, what else, Happy Valley. So I plan on doing some traveling to some of these away games.
Hey, by the way, talking about traveling, right before COVID hit, I was supposed to go out to Seattle. We were going to go to a Seahawks game together, and then the whole world shut down. So I may have to make my way out back to the 12th man, and then you come over here, and we'll go to a college football game together.
Man, done. You let me know, Zach.
You got it. So Zone In CBD, tell me all the latest with your company.
Oh, yeah, man, just changing lives. I mean, it's the magic stuff that put me back together, you know, after all. But 6 years, I only played 6 years because of 10 surgeries, 15 concussions. And I feel better than I was when I was making, you know, the All-Pro. So, you know, Zone In CBD, find out at zoneincbd.com. And yeah, let's get that health and wellness regimen going.
All these years removed, what's that one lasting memory that you have from your NFL career where you were a first-team All-Pro and a three-time Pro Bowler?
Getting drafted was, you know, one of the greatest days of my life because it's something you dream about since you're a kid and just hearing your name called. But then the NFC Championship, man. I mean, yeah. the place was absolutely rocking. I think we were underdogs at home to a Carolina team. And, you know, we took it to them, man. We were just ready and was hoping that was going to be our year and, you know, just didn't quite finish the last game the way we wanted to.
And Sean Alexander was just unbelievable that year.
I mean, yeah, 28 rushing touchdowns.
He is insane.
18. This is what I love talking about that season. 1888 rushing yards. He didn't play the second half of four games because we were up by so much.
And we've had Sean on a bunch, and I know his career was so quick, but for a running back, you know, it's so tough to go play 11, 12 years. The fact that that guy's not in the Hall of Fame is just ridiculous.
Well, he just got – I know, I agree with you. I mean, what, he has 100 rushing touchdowns. I don't know a ton of guys that have that. 112 or 113 touchdowns overall, so he had 12 more receiving. If you look back at his body of work, I know it was a short window, but it was, man, I mean, still talking about him because of it.
Yeah, what was it like going up against him in practice?
We weren't allowed to touch Sean either. He was like another quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, don't touch my running back and don't touch my quarterback. And I was like, all right, coach, all right.
Lofa Tatupu, great to catch up with you. I know it's been a while. We appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
All right, Zach. Stay blessed, brother.
You got it. There's Lofa Tatupu. Always love when he joins us on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. And let's chat a little bit about some of these jobs. Wisconsin, Nebraska, Auburn, Lane Kiffin, little contract extension offered already to make it a top 10 coach at Ole Miss. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So according to Richard Cross, Lane Kiffin has received a new contract offer from Ole Miss that would make him one of the 10 highest paid coaches in college football, and it's now a waiting game to see if he'll receive an offer from Auburn. Now, Hickey, this is expected that he was going to get a new contract because this is what all these coaches do. They use other jobs as leverage to try to get their current team to give them more money and give them more years, or that interest actually could be valid, and he may not want to be the head coach at Ole Miss anymore, and you make your best offer and see if it's good enough to try to maybe say, okay, I'll wait another year or two before I eventually leave. Like, Ole Miss, it's good. It's a very solid job. We all know that in the SEC. Is he ever win a national championship at Ole Miss? No. And when you have Auburn open, when you have the possibility of A&M open around the corner, if Jimbo does not elevate himself next year, if I get offered the Auburn job and I'm Lane Kiffin, I'm going. I'm taking it. And I think he would. But I was reading on the Football Scoop website that this contract extension, we don't know what the actual number is of what he was offered, but where he currently is, in order to become a top 10 highest paid coach in college football, the minimum would be a $300,000, I think it is, a year bump. So how much of a raise was he really given? You would think Ole Miss wouldn't do a slap in the face kind of offer. Oh, we'll get you in the top 10, but you're really at like 9 or 10 instead of where you're currently at like 11 or 12 or whatever the number is.
I hope they pony up. I really like Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. It's fun. I like that there's a new program with some life.
But does he love it?
Well,
that's the question. Because he was bitching about the question. Fans. Remember, showing up late, he had to beg the fans to try to get in the game on time.
Well,
and they're partying up in the Grove.
That's, you know, when you have a great tailgate scene, that's one of the negatives there for you. You are right about that. I hope he likes it. Oh, yeah. Like, this is selfish. I have no rooting interest for Ole Miss. I just like that they're relevant. I like that their uniforms are great. I think it's a great story. They've never won an SEC title, which I'd love to see them win one sooner rather than later. Like, that's like an underdog story. That's what Ole Miss is, compared to Auburn or Texas A&M. But yeah, I hope this offer is real. I hope it's not like you mentioned, like a $500,000
Fugazi offer
boost where it's, now he's a top 10, but you're really not getting that much different where A&M can basically run him a blank check at this point. Auburn can probably do close to the same.
And let me be clear. If they're making him a contract extension offer, I'm going to assume that it's going to be a legit offer. Because why wouldn't, if you're Ole Miss, why wouldn't you want to keep Lane Kiffin? You'd wanna, you don't want to annoy him. You don't want him to be perturbed with you and go, oh, this is what you offer me? So now I'm going to go run to Auburn, which is a better job, and go take the Auburn job? You don't want to push him away. So I would think that this would be pretty close to their best or last offer would just be what my gut tells me on this. Or at least I would hope to believe.
Right, I hope. I hope you're right. We don't have any numbers, but especially when you look at what James Franklin got last year or Mel Tucker got, even the contract extension Jimbo Fisher got last year. When you have the concern or the fear that your coach could leave, most programs have ponied up and gone above and beyond to kind of make sure they stay. Hopefully Ole Miss is going to do the same.
And you would agree Ole Miss needs Lane Kiffin more than Lane Kiffin needs Ole Miss.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Next year, Lane Kiffin back in Ole Miss? Oh, there's a big sigh by Hickey. He wants to say no, but...
No, I'd like to say yes.
You would like to say yes, but you're thinking no, but... 2 weeks ago, I know how your brain works. 2 weeks ago, you said that he was going to be there. So now you're conflicted because you had a little change of heart here.
The tough part is I think Jimbo Fisher is going to be fired. We know Auburn's open. So you have two mega schools.
You think Jimbo's getting fired at the end of this year?
I do.
Okay. So I think let me be clear. I made this abundantly clear last week. I think 100% he should be fired. I don't think he will be fired. I think he's going to get another year.
Two schools open. I think he's just bound to go. I think the money would be too great for him to go to just stay.
And that's the other big potential job that could be open. Yeah, I'm not telling you that he's 100% back. I think he's going to be back, but it's not with 100% certainty. Like, what's the other potential really big job that's open? We already have Nebraska open. We already have Auburn open. Wisconsin's open, but I think a lot of people believe that it's going to be Jim Leonard's job to lose. Outside of A&M, is there another job out there that could open up and pop up like out of nowhere?
Could, being the operative word, depending on what Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh do, you could have Ohio State, Michigan. Again, that's going to the NFL. Right? They're not leaving and taking another college job. But we know Jim Harbaugh was basically going to be the Vikings coach if they wanted him. Ryan Day's had interest or received interview requests from teams like the Bears. So there's interest in the NFL. We'll see if he reciprocates. But those are, in terms of surprise openings that really could, try to land a big fish, like those two. I don't know if either would pursue Lane Kiffin, but those would definitely be open that would kind of shape
Lane
right now
Kiffin's
the college
an SEC
world.
Coach.
I'd agree.
I think Lane Kiffin just has to be in the SEC. Right now, when you look at those three jobs, Wisconsin, I know you said Leipold, right? 2 weeks ago?
Lance Leipold, yes, sir.
So you think it's either between, I still think it's Jim Leonard or bust. That it's Jim Leonard's job until I'm told otherwise. Are you still on the light? Like, if you get outside of your predictions, would you agree with that sentiment that it feels like it's Jim Leonard's job until someone says, hey, we're going to go in a different direction?
That's fair.
Nebraska. You heard some Gary Patterson from Football Scoop. You heard some Matt Rhule. There was one report from Will Compton that Matt Rhule was in Nebraska this past week. I texted with Matt this week. I didn't get the sense he was in Nebraska, but maybe I'm wrong on that one. I know he's coming to New York next week, going to be doing some media appearances. So I think Matt would be in play for Nebraska. When I look at that, Lance Leipold, probably another fit for Nebraska as well. Those are the three names that I look at for Nebraska. Rhule, Leipold, and Gary Patterson, probably the first three names that come to mind.
I still would throw out the name Bill O'Brien. I'm intrigued.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Now, O'Brien did a good job at Penn State for 2 years. With the way that the offense is playing at Alabama right now, does that maybe make O'Brien have to wait a little bit longer? Because that offense, has not been a traditional Alabama offense this year. Bryce Young is great. They just don't have the pieces at wide receiver.
Well, that's the question. Is it the receivers or is it the scheme? If you're Nebraska, I mean, who are you to be picky?
Fair. Very fair. I just wonder how ADs are going to view Bill O'Brien. And that I don't know. And I think with what he did at Penn State, I would hire him to be a college coach. I just don't know how much it, like, what I'm saying here is, it seemed as if before the start of the year, Bill O'Brien was going to get a job. He was going to get a job after the year out of college. Now, when we talk about a big job, like maybe he gets a Georgia Tech, maybe he gets an Arizona State. But when we're talking about these three big jobs, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Auburn, I don't know. I just feel like we have not heard his name enough for these jobs. And sometimes guys get hired and you don't hear it get leaked out and all that stuff. But for a lot of these searches, it feels as if Bill O'Brien's name is buried and not brought up a lot in great frequency. That's just the way that I feel about it. So for Wisconsin, I would say Jim Leonard. Nebraska, I would say Gary Patterson, Lance Leipold, and Matt Rhule. I saw Gary Patterson, who's an analyst at Texas. And that was, a lot of people started to realize that when Texas played TCU last week. And you had Gary Patterson say he's committed to Sark. He's seen a lot of these reports. He's committed to Sark. If he gets offered the job at Nebraska, I think Sark would understand. That's just like a typical head coach and an answer that you have to give. And then how about Auburn? It feels like Auburn's three names. Kiffin, Sanders, Deion Sanders, and Hugh Freeze. Right? That seems like the only three names that have been really brought into this conversation.
It's only two games. Do you start talking Cadillac Williams at all? Is he in the mix?
He outcoached A&M
on Saturday.
The
place has been rejuvenated for what has been a very down year.
And also, the role of a college football coach now is fascinating. Because with NIL, I think it totally changes the game that your traditional old school ball coach isn't necessarily needed anymore. And a guy like Cadillac Williams, with that connection that he has with these kids, like, look at Marcus Freeman. Marcus Freeman was at Notre Dame for a year. As the defensive coordinator, Brian Kelly leaves, he gets the job. So is it possible? Yes. Which is how big of a job that is. I just think a bigger name's going to get it because you look at those three names, Hugh Freeze, Lane Kiffin, Deion Sanders. I got to think, and it takes two to tango, but I got to think one of those guys would really want the job. You know, Hugh Freeze would be dying to go to Auburn. I don't know if they're interested in him. Deion Sanders, I would think he would want the job. And I know we talked about Lane Kiffin and at Ole Miss right now. Why wouldn't Lane Kiffin want that job? Unless Lane Kiffin is feeling good that Jimbo Fisher's going to get fired, or he's going to bet that Jimbo Fisher fails next year and then a year from now he's taking the A&M job. But that's a tricky game if you play that waiting game. Now, wouldn't it be the most Lane Kiffin thing in the world? You go to Auburn for a year and then you jump to A&M right after that. Imagine the buyout on that.
Fan bases.
Oh, yeah.
Hating him and despising him for the 1 year leap.
You would need extra state troopers with Lane Kiffin. There is no doubt about that. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I just saw Derrick Henry had a rushing touchdown, so the Titans do increase their lead. We will take a break. When we come on back, we will get to the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. How about that? That's wonderful to see. Leroy Butler at halftime was just put into the Ring of Honor. So he has the Pro Football Hall of Fame jacket on, got inducted, obviously, and now they have put him in the Ring of Honor. That's just great to see. For one of the great human beings that I've ever met in Leroy Butler. So congratulations to the creator and the inventor of the Lambo Leap, Leroy Butler. So that's awesome. Hickey, I need you to explain something to me. Because there's some times where I'm usually a part of the social media trends. I'm missing this entire thing going on Twitter right now. I know Elon Musk has taken over Twitter. He's trying to fire everybody. But is Twitter on the verge of shutting down? Well, what's the deal here? I see all these tweets about people saying Twitter's going to shut down.
Apparently, it's not in a good place. It looks like, I don't know, 75% roughly of the employees will quit, resign,
really?
Get fired.
Really? That many?
Something like that to that extent. So, yeah, a great
so
app
Twitter
is
shut down
on the demise.
Well, I don't know if it's a great app. But if Twitter does shut down, and maybe this is people just caught up in the moment and people doing what they do best on Twitter and just get caught up in the moment and just comment. But if Twitter does get shut down, does that mean all the tweets just get erased? And all the bad takes just get erased and we never have access to them again?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like
I feel
when
like
you
it
go
last, it has to last.
For example, if I found one of your 9,000 hot takes that probably should end up on Old Takes Exposed, freezing cold takes. If I then saw a tweet of yours, when did you get on Twitter? When was the first time you got on Twitter?
2011.
Okay. So, like, let's say if I found a tweet of yours from 2017 that was, oh, the Indianapolis Colts are going to do this, this, and this, and this, and this, and then they don't. If I click on that in the future, if Twitter does shut down, do you think it's just error, something went wrong, this doesn't exist anymore, or is it, okay, I could still see the history of that?
I'm going to go with the assumption you can still see. Like, I'm trying to think of one last good tweet here in case it shuts down. It's like a tombstone. You know, it's like a lasting legacy of the account. Yeah. That's how I'm going to treat, you know, if the demise is truly here now again. He also, how much did Elon Musk pay? Like $4 billion or something like that for Twitter? Something insane?
This is ridiculous.
I would be shocked if Twitter goes down and it's never back after you're not just dumping that amount of money and having it shut down in, what, a month, if that? But if it does shut down, I hope that's you can still access it because I still like to see some funny stuff. Like, can you access MySpace?
It's a good question. Is MySpace still around?
I don't think so. I could be wrong. I don't know.
I just went to MySpace.com.
15 years ago.
I think it's changed. I do think it's still around, but it's changed.
Did it get bought out by Facebook or something like that?
I think I deleted my MySpace.
I never had one.
I had a MySpace. I think I deleted that.
In seventh grade? Freshman year of high school?
I don't remember.
Those went out of out of style real quick.
Very quickly. But I was on MySpace. And then Facebook became so big, and then eventually Twitter. My favorite is Instagram. I like Instagram the best.
I like Twitter the best.
You do? Yeah, because you're a troll.
So
you're like
funny.
A little troll. That's what
people
you are.
Just kind of say whatever they want.
Yeah.
We need Twitter.
Yes and no. I would actually, I'd be happy but disappointed if Twitter, now I'm sounding like you, it'd be a good thing but a bad thing if Twitter did go away. For our show, it's probably a good thing if Twitter stays around. But there's also a lot of times where you're like, I hate this app.
How am I gonna find out breaking news? Where's Adam Schefter posting who gets cuts, who gets traded?
Yeah, you get an ESPN alert to your phone.
We get enough apps and enough alerts. Go to Twitter, see it all right there. How else are we going to react? How are you going to react? How are people going to react?
I don't know.
Where are the jokes going
to
be?
Maybe you talk to someone.
I'm here for the jokes, the sarcasm, the below the belt shots that other people take that I just like to laugh at.
If Twitter went away, I'd miss one person and one person only, severely. Now, I'll see him all the time, but I'll miss his tweets. Connor Green. Connor Green has great tweets.
Connor's funny.
Would you try to be on Twitter as what Connor Green is?
I don't think I try.
I'm kidding around.
I'm kidding around. Connor's funny.
What would be your final tweet?
I got nothing.
You
got
to have something quickly. What happens if it shuts down tomorrow?
I know. That's what I'm worried about. I don't know. I'm not I'm not funny in general. Then you put me in the spot to try to be funny or witty. That's even worse.
I know what it is. This is my final tweet for you. Andrew Luck will be back.
My final tweet. Penn State. 2024 national champions.
2024?
Lock it up. I'll see you there. I'll see you at the parade.
What are you, high? You been drinking there in the show?
What do you mean high?
2024?
Yeah. Okay. Really, I hate how they do the new year, but 2025 national champion, quote unquote, for the 2024 season.
Yeah, okay.
I'll see you at the parade.
Okay.
You better be able to access old tweets because I want to go back to that on the day of the national title and say, oh, look who's right. I don't know where I'd post it.
Are you stupid?
I have to, at least I'll have it for myself.
I think you're stupid.
I'll create a new app.
How about James Franklin starts
Tweeta
with winning another top five game before you talk about and you infiltrate our airwaves with a national championship?
What is stopping anyone, by the way, from just starting Twitter with a new name all over again?
You got to get the popularity, though.
You have to have the format, the technology.
And maybe I'm wrong. Is it that hard?
You have all those. Yeah. And you got to get the following?
Well, that'll be easy. Because right now it's about to shut down. Elon's, you know, burning this thing to the ground.
Yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere.
There's a whole millions of people. Just
since you're buying into this, that means it's going to be around.
I didn't say I'm buying into it. I think this is not a ploy, because what else are you going to do? But. Okay.
Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Eagles been adding to that offensive line, a defensive line. You had Linval Joseph, Robert Quinn, now Ndamukong Suh. Howie Roseman, not going to leave any stone unturned. Give a stock up to the Eagles GM, bringing in Ndamukong Suh. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, we gave him a stock up last night. The tear that he's been on in his last six or seven games has really been something. But let's hear the game-winning shot that he had last night, this courtesy of the Thunder TV network.
Two to tie, three to take the lead. Shai checks, steps back, three-point shot on the way. He's good with 1.1 seconds left.
Really? That's the call? Guys had 33 points, 39 points, 20 points, 37, 37, and 42 last night. Can't get a little bit more emotion there? Anyway, give a stock up to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. OG Anunoby, what a performance last night for the Raptors as they get a victory. OG Anunoby in the game had 32 points and 10 rebounds. Raptors beat the Heat to go to 9-7 on the year. Give a stock up to OG. Brook Lopez. I love the transformation of Brook Lopez. Guy would never shoot three-pointers now. All he does is shoot three-pointers. Bucks are red hot. They're 11-3. They're 8-1 at home this year. They get a 113-98 victory up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And how about Big Brook? Brook Lopez, baby. In the game last night, 7 of 9 from 3, 29 points, 3 blocks as well. Love me some Brook Lopez. Give him a stock up. You know, I got to give credit to your guy, Julius Randle, hot take, Hickey. Good win for the Knicks last night, taking down the Nuggets. And Julius Randle, 34 points, 11 rebounds, 4 steals, had a lot of good defensive plays as well. Give Julius Randle a stock up. Aaron Judge, AL MVP. Paul Goldschmidt, NL MVP. Give them both a stock up. The Golden State Warriors, they lose last night 130-119 to the Phoenix Suns. Steph Curry had 50 points, and they lost. It wasn't even close. And they lose that game. Warriors are now 6-9 on the season. They have not won a road game this year. They're 0-8 on the road. That's just crazy. Jeez. Give a stock down to the Golden State Warriors. And then finally, all right, you got to move the game because there's going to be 3 to 6 feet of snow. I was kidding with Marco a little bit. But what I'm kidding about, when you see that whole scenario go down, when you have Bills, Browns getting moved to Detroit, 3 to 6 feet, reasonable to move. I can understand that. I don't love it, but I can understand it. Like, I would love to see them play in the snow, but if you can't get the team in, then what are you going to do? But what I'm not kidding about is everyone saying, oh, you know, we got to build a dome on the new Bills Stadium. Why? You think Buffalo, I think food, family, football, crazy weather. Crazy football weather. I went to a game in Buffalo last year. It was -2 degrees. It was awesome. Even though the Pats got destroyed, which wasn't awesome. But the actual event was really cool. Don't put a roof on the new Bills Stadium. And shame on anyone that has that soft take. Oh, we got to put a dome on the new Bills Stadium. Stop. Talk about something that would not fit. A roof on the new Bills Stadium. Hate the idea. Stock down to anyone that thinks that way. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hot take, Hickey. Excellent, excellent, excellent job today. Big thanks to Bobby Carpenter for joining us. Matt, the steamroller for Vola, swinging by after his big UFC 281 victory, and Lofa Tatupu as well. Titans 14, Packers 6, Alan Lazard, catch, first down on 3rd and 10 now in the red zone. 10:27 to go in the third quarter. We'll be back tomorrow to Big Football Friday, and we'll catch you at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.